Good morning. How are we doing today? I'm glad that you have chosen to make Living Hope your home for today as we enter into this Christmas season. I love this time of year, and I'd love for you to help me out, if you would. I know very rarely does a pastor ever say this, but take out your phones, would you? I want to do something with you on your phones. Go to the YouVersion app, if you have that app. And then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go to, I don't know if any of you have ever done devotional plans or things like that on your phone, but I need you to go into Discover your devotional plans. If you're a friend with me on YouVersion already, you've gotten an invitation for this, but I'm not friends with many of you on this particular app. But go type in Hope Is, okay? Hope Is. What's really cool is it's a two-week devotional that we're going to do during this Advent season, during this Christmas season. And if you will put in there to, there, just John Bonner, thanks for accepting my friend request. We're going to do this, you can do them together is what's really cool about it. YouVersion app has done the devotionals that if you want to do it with somebody else, and that if we all do this together, what it is, you'll read a short devotional and a little bit of scripture, and then it's has a the next page of what thought was in your mind, or what did this cause you to think, or something like that, and we can do this together, that we can be a community, not just on today, but for the next 2 weeks, we can be a community during our devotional time together, and I just think that that would be really cool to be able to do that with you, and so I hope that you'll gather in to do that as well. But as we start off, as we started off last week, Andrew started off our series, His Name Is, and this week we're going to continue with week two. His name is Wonderful Counselor. And what does that bring to your mind during this Christmas season? And as we do what we do during this season, but this time of year, this Christmas season, makes me think of friends and acquaintances and getting together, and there's all the parties and there's all the stuff that goes on, and I love this time of year. I hope that you do as well, but when we think about this time of season and we think about friends, do you have that friend? Okay, I want you to think back. I've got a friend that I've had for probably pushing 30 years now, and his name is Aaron, and Aaron and I did the same kind of life at the same kind of time. He was an excavator contractor. I was a plastering contractor, and we even at the same time kind of built our own homes at the same time, and we had a season of life together. We liked to camp together. We liked to go four-wheeling in the hills together and do that kind of stuff, and he was the kind of friend. Okay, you've heard this before, right? That a friend is one who will bail you out of jail in the middle of the night, right? You've heard that? Okay, he was the type of friend that he was such a good friend, he was with you in jail in the middle of the night. Not that I've never been in jail, but he was that kind of a friend, okay? And so we did all kinds of stuff together, and at one time, we loved to go four-wheeling together, and we loved to go fast. We love to do adventurous things together, and we found ourselves, we'd four-wheeled through the hills and got ourselves all kinds of lost, and it was a great day. And so we come out to a highway, and we go, okay, where are we at? Okay, this is where we're at. This is where we need to be. We either got to take 4 hours back to get there, or we can take this little piece of highway to get there. And so what did we choose? We chose the highway, and we both kind of appreciated NASCAR. Okay, you can see where this is going. And we thought, you know, is drafting really real? Have you ever wondered that question at all? Has that ever crossed your mind? But so one of us is on a 500, one of us is on a 700, and we thought, you know, just by physics, a larger engine should be able to get away, right? You know, and so we thought, well, let's test this. So we get on the highway, we're full throttled out, we're going, I don't know, 50, 60 miles an hour, and one would get right behind the other one, and sure enough, it would just suck them right in and just tap their bumper and pass them. And then it didn't matter who was in front, they'd suck up and they'd tap the bumper, you know, at 60 miles an hour tapping four-wheelers. What could go wrong, right? Nothing could go wrong. Until the one time that he pulls back and he pulls off to the side of the road, and I'm like, oh man, what's going on? And I get back there and his speedometer's smoking. And we had a little too much fun, apparently, and voltage was getting to the speedometer and all that was. And so we had to stop before we started it on fire, and it was a great day, right? You had those days. Do you have that friend? Who is that friend for you? And you know something else about Aaron was that during this time that no matter what either of us was going through. That no matter what I was going through, whether it was a good time or bad, whether it was a great time of life or maybe I was messing life up, maybe you're doing the right thing, maybe doing the wrong thing, but at those times, at all those times in life, Aaron and I had this relationship that the Proverbs talks about as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It was that kind of a relationship. It was that kind of a relationship that he always pointed me towards Christ. That no matter what I was making for decisions or what he was making for decisions, and usually it shows up during those times where we're not making quite the right choices, but he always pointed me towards Christ. Do you have a friend like that, especially during this Christmas season, that always seems to point you towards Christ? Now, why is that relevant? Because this is that time of year. This is the Advent season where we have the hope of the expected one that is coming. And we are being pointed towards the Christ child during this time and this season. Well, we're going to take a look at what Isaiah had to say today as we get into week two of His Name Is. And I think it's a familiar passage in the Old Testament about Jesus. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and it says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now the prophet Isaiah, he's writing this some 700 years before Jesus is going to show up on the scene. We know this because this is part of our history. But for Isaiah, he was writing about something that he was only expecting to have happen. And so during that time, Isaiah is describing this coming Messiah. And he would be born hundreds of years later from Isaiah's time. And he's telling us about Jesus. And he's telling us about the attributes of who he will be. How will you be able to recognize him is basically what Isaiah is telling us. You're going to be recognizing him this way. Let's read it again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful." Wonderful. Write that down in your note-taking guide if you're following along. For as prophet, as Isaiah wrote this, this first one that he would be called is Wonderful. Now, I don't know about you, but wonderful is a great word, but it's not necessarily a word that gets used in my everyday vocabulary all of the time, okay? It's not exactly what happens, and so I asked Pastor Nathan, our next generation pastor, to help me out here. Let's hip this up a little bit. Let's get a little fresher to date with this. So I asked him, you know, kind of explore some of the Hebrew of what wonderful would be, and he came back after a little while, and he said, well, for interpretation, you know, maybe you just want to insert the word super chill. I'm not sure that that's exactly what the Hebrew translates to, but we're going to use it. Because I want you to think about this, that Jesus would be wonderful. He would be super chill. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus that coming into this world, that if people would connect with him, then they would see amazing, wonderful, and super chill things, all rolled up into one. And even though Jesus would not say these things about himself, that Isaiah and others would perfectly describe the attributes of who he was. Have you gotten to know him yet? You see, Isaiah is letting us know that even today we can know what the Messiah is all about. Isaiah was letting us know that Jesus would teach and the people would say, "Wow, I've never heard that before about God. That's amazing." When he would see Jesus interact with the poor or the hurting, people would say, "Wow, that's something wonderful about him." When they would see Jesus confront the hypocrites in the church, and people would say, "Wow, that's amazing truth." And when Jesus would come across the paths of people who were full of regret because of their past decisions, that he would love them. He would extend grace to them, and he would encourage them in a new way to live life. And people would say, "Wow, that is truly amazing grace." And when Jesus would explain his mission in this world, and he was to seek out, to offer them forgiveness, to seek out people and offer them forgiveness, and to give them hope of a better way to do life, people would shake their heads and say, "Wow, that's an amazing vision." And when the day comes, and our day comes, and our number of days is up. And for those of us who have followed this Jesus, who have followed this way of life, who have asked to have a relationship with him, at one day we're going to step across that threshold in heaven, and we're going to stand there and go, wow. Are you ready for that day? Are you looking forward to that day when you can stand there and say, wow? So what do we do until that day comes? What do we do in the meantime? Now, some of you know what I'm talking about, and Christmas brings back to you a fresh memory of a fresh way of all that Jesus has done for you. He took the garbage from your past. He helped you realize it. He helped you clean it out. He was quick to forgive you when you messed up. And he helped you live a new life, a new way. Now, if you haven't experienced that yet, then I say that there's no better time than Christmas to start this new way of life, to really find out who Jesus is. Isaiah goes on in his description of the coming Messiah, and the next one he says is, "For unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." Counselor is the next thing that the attribute that Jesus will be called, and I have a friend that lives about a state away, and he's married to a counselor. And I thought, oh my, would that be a good thing or not? I don't know what you think, but he says no. He says it's a great thing. He says, because one, she already knows all my screw-ups anyway, and so we don't have to go talk about all that. But do you know how much money I save having a counselor in the house? He says, it's incredible the amount of money that I save on having in-house personal counseling. Now, Isaiah would say that the Messiah will come and he will be an awesome counselor. You won't have to spend a bunch of time trying to relate your situation to this counselor. You won't have to spend a bunch of time making sure you tell him the right thing and not the wrong thing, because this counselor knows it all. Knows all the good stuff, knows all the not so good stuff, knows all the regrets, knows all the shining pieces. He knows it all. And we can come to him with all of our hurts, with all of our regrets, with all of our failures, because he already knows all about you. He created you for a purpose. And he loves you as his creation. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He was there when the universe was created. And Isaiah is saying that the one who is coming will take this knowledge, he will take this wisdom, and he will be available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's a great thing for us to have at our fingertips, to have at our disposal, that all we have to do is ask. Whether we feel we want a counselor or not, I'm pretty sure that we would all admit that there are times when we need some wisdom and some guidance, wouldn't we? James 1:5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." Isn't that great news for us? That if we lack wisdom, those times that I lack wisdom, those times that you lack wisdom, that God will give us wisdom generously. And all we have to do is ask for it. That is such a relief, because I don't know about you, there's been a lot of times in my life when I've been at the end of my rope. Maybe I've even done some dumb things, right? And turned to God for help. And I can say this, thanks be to God that he does not respond to me the way that I might respond to others. That if you were God and we kept coming, if you came up to you as God, what would be your response? Oh, way to go, knucklehead. Look what you got yourself into there. Look what you've done to yourself now. Why don't you just go ahead and figure out how you're going to get yourself back out of that one, right? But that's not what he does. He gives us wisdom. He comforts us and he counsels us. When our hearts are open to that, when we are willing to accept his counsel, he will freely give us that and wisdom and all of that more. Now, if you didn't realize it, and most of you guys probably don't, but we are just 3 Mondays away from Christmas. Okay, 3 Mondays away from Christmas. And my guess is that many of us in this room are at a crossroads of some kind in some kind of life. that you might be in a position right now where you're having to make a decision or two. And you might even have to be making that decision before Christmas or maybe before the end of the year. Maybe it's a job thing or something in your marriage or a medical issue or a financial decision, something that has to do with your children perhaps. Maybe you're feeling the stress building of whatever this decision might be. You know, something has to be decided, and you can feel the pressure building from the inside out. Does that describe you today? Does that describe you in the not so much past? Can I give you a Christmas recommendation? There's an amazing counselor who knows everything that you're going through and everything that you're putting on your own plate right now. He created you to love you, and he wants to interact with you. Talk to him. Seek his counsel. Yeah, it's good to get advice from godly friends and even from a Christian counselor. I'm a big proponent of that. But the best advice that you can get is from a wonderful counselor who created you. I'm going to encourage you, seek out his word. Seek out his words to you and listen and wait. Isaiah 9:6, as we move on, for unto him the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Mighty God. Do you see it this way? Is this one who simply spoke creation into existence of all of the universe, this mighty God? In the beginning, God created, and it came to be. Sure, let's go ahead and take the scientific approach once, because there's a group of people out there that believe that everything came into being to this point, and that if we go back a whole bunches of years, that it all comes down to a little piece of energy about the size of a pea. The Big Bang Theory. For some of you, that's just a sitcom on TV, but for some of you, that's a theory of creation. Okay? Fine. Let's take that road for just a second. But where did that little pea-sized piece of energy come from? You see, you can't have the creation story. You can't have the road runs to a dead end if you don't have God at the beginning of what it is. Now, I'm a creationist, not an evolutionist, but whatever science has got you running down, you have to understand that God is the creator of everything, and he is a mighty God. Reminds me of John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In the first chapter, the first four verses right off say this: in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everyone, everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Okay, let's just do something really simple. I don't know if you've done this before or ever thought about this before, but if the beginning was the Word and then the beginning was God, and we learn through different pieces through the Scripture that Jesus is that person, let's read this again. Go ahead and put that beginning of the verse back up again, and let's read it this way. Let's, instead of saying the word Word, insert the name Jesus in there and see what that does for you. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. Now, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through Jesus. Jesus gave life to everything that was created, and Jesus' life brought light to everyone. So as we look upon this Advent season, this Christmas time season, as we are looking for the expectant light, that all points back to who is Jesus, and what are some of these attributes that he has? Another name for Jesus is Everlasting Father. Let's read that again and continue on. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. Now, many of you have had great dads, and so this concept means a lot to you. For some of you, the concept of father is somewhat marred by maybe the past of what your earthly father did or didn't do. Please don't let that distort on who God is during this time, our everlasting Father. Isaiah says that the one who is coming will adopt any willing person into his family. It's kind of funny. It says, it uses the word adopt. Now, we all know what adoption is, but back in that culture, I wish we had time to really sit down and dive into this, that if you are born into a family versus adopted into a family. How do we think about that today? Sometimes we think, oh, they were just adopted into the family. If we go back in time to when this was written and to what adoption meant in that culture in that day, that it's really interesting to find out that sometimes an adopted child would have a stronger relationship and have actually more rights than a child that was born into a family. So to think about the adoption of being adopted in actually meant you had a stronger bond into this family. And so we can have the strongest possible bond into the family of God through Jesus. Some of you have maybe lost your dad. Maybe through him passing away, or maybe he just left, or maybe he just left emotionally. I don't know what happened with you, but for some of you, you've had that happen. And this concept of dad and who he is always there, and this would always be so huge for you. But none of you, none of us, have to be fatherless. If you are in a relationship with Jesus, you have a father forever. Now here's that big word that you could circle or highlight is forever. You will never be without a father again. Listen to what it says in Psalm 68, 4 through 6. Sing praises to God and to his name. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. That is such a good news, that you are a part of a family, that when you come here today, we are a part of a family. So how do we, maybe we need to talk for a while about how do we treat our families? What should we do with our families, especially during this season? But in your Bibles, you could circle or highlight father to the fatherless, and God places the lonely in families. This everlasting father, and all can turn to him. All they have to do is ask. One last one that we have in Isaiah is this: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be called, will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Finally, Isaiah says, the one who will come on that first Christmas season is going to be called the Prince of Peace. Just like today, the whole nation of Israel wanted peace. Their life was always in some sort of turmoil or another, but because of all this violence around the world, the thought of peace is even more desirable, isn't it? Many of you have or have had sons and daughters, husbands and wives, loved ones who have been in Iraq or Afghanistan over the past year or years. I've met many people, and especially in this church, who have asked for prayer for a son or a daughter or someone in uniform in Iraq or Afghanistan. Wouldn't you just love to turn on the news tonight? What would that be like if you turned on the news tonight and there was actual, lasting, real peace in the Middle East? What would that do for you? As far as all that goes, think of even the tension that's happened in the U.S. What goes on in our own families? What goes on across our own country? And this is the time of Christmas and happy and joy. So when Isaiah says that the one who is coming is not just going to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, but he's also going to be the one who will bring the message of sanity into a dark world. Jesus says and encourages us, yes, stop doing the wrong thing. Stop doing evil things. But he goes on further to not just stop doing the evil things, but to pray for those whom you have something against, your enemies. I think that that's a huge piece for us today. What would that look like if you prayed for your enemies? I have been incredibly captivated and captured by a piece of scripture over these last couple of weeks that says, when you come to the altar to offer up your sacrifice, if you do so and you realize that you have a discord or something against your brother or your sister, leave your sacrifice there and go and be reconciled with them. Then come back. Do you understand what that says? That you're here in church today, that we are all here together to celebrate a wonderful God. But if you think you can worship a wonderful God while harboring a resentment against someone or someone's, your worship is worthless. Your offering is not accepted. What can we do today during this Christmas season? Now, you can only do half. You are only half of a relationship. But have you at least gone to the other person who you have discord with and said, can we work this out? And I think by the grace of God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, because of his wonderful counseling, that these things can be worked out. But if not, you've at least done your part. Have you done your part today during this Christmas season to empty everything off of your plate, to put down the baggage of relationships and the things that maybe we have done wrong, the things that I have done wrong, the things that you have done wrong, and how do we put this all back together so that we get to this place where we bend a knee before the creator of the universe, the one who created you on purpose, and we can be together as one with this wonderful counselor, Almighty God, Father to the fatherless, Prince of Peace. How would that change the tone of America today? How would that change the tone of this church today? How would that change the tone of your family today? Forgive. Treat others as valuable creations of God in peace. You see, right now there's a war going on. There's a battle with evil that seems to amp up during this time of the year, and it's a spiritual battle between good and evil. But one day, the Bible says, there will be no more war and there will be no more tears. And in Acts 10:36, this is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Is he your Lord today? Is he putting someone on your mind today? Now, this part of the message is a little heavier than what we would expect for a good old fun Christmas message. What's God doing to you today? Where is he putting your mind right now, and who has he put on it? Isaiah says that the best shot that we have for peace is all tied up in the one who will come in a manger that we celebrate during this Christmas season. So where is your heart as you start this Christmas season, as you get into the thick of this Christmas season? Where is your attention being placed? What resonates with you the most right now? Be honest. Is it the name Santa or Eddie Bauer? Or Elf, or Grinch, or is Jesus the name that is on your mind? As we take Sunday to Thursday, does Jesus stay at the top of our list and on our mind all the days of the week, and not just on Sunday? Where are you at? Let me finish up with just a couple of questions. Are you in a relationship today with the one whose name is Wonderful Counselor? Have you ever taken that step to ask for help for someone beyond yourself? Have you ever taken that step to ask and to admit who you are and what you've done to the Almighty Counselor, the Wonderful Counselor, the one who's not going to just stand there and say, boy, you've really screwed it up, now why don't you get yourself out of it? It's not what he's going to say. He's going to wrap you with his arms of grace and love and welcome you into the family if that's what you desire. Do you desire that today? Do you need a restart today during this Christmas season where life can go to all kinds of places? Let's do this together. Let's not forget about the community of who we are as Living Hope. Let's not forget that there are those out there needing to hear this word of hope and the message of hope that they're only going to hear from you. As you work beside them, as you play beside them, as you rub shoulders beside them, as you come home and talk with them, as you do whatever you do, it is you that needs to get the voice of Jesus Christ out into a world that's just begging for hope. We have 4,000 people in Lake County who have marked a box that said, I don't care about religion. I don't care about God. And if they die tonight, they go to hell. If they die tonight, they spend eternity separated from God, because God will not force you to go to heaven. But he encourages you and asks you to come, do life my way. And I will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace to you. We need to get this message into a dark world. And then, like I talked about at the beginning, I had a friend of mine that no matter what we went through, he always pointed me towards Jesus. Who are you pointing towards Jesus this Christmas season? Here's a question for you. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. Who are you pointing towards Jesus this Christmas season? Well, we're going to take a few minutes here to end our service, and we're going to observe communion. And if you don't know, communion is a representation of what Jesus did for us many years ago. That there was one who was the perfect lamb, that God had decided that sin needed to be paid for, and it needed to be paid for by a sacrifice, and it needed to be paid for in blood. And so there was one perfect person that came to this land that sacrificed himself as the perfect lamb for you and for me. And during this Christmas season, we can remember that. As we observe communion, you don't have to be a member of this church or any other church as far as that goes. You just need to be a part of the family of God. We just ask that you have asked for forgiveness for your sins and asked to live life the way God wants you to live it. And just as Jesus did all of those years ago, they sat down for one final dinner together, and Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, here, take this, do this in remembrance of me. This represents my body, which is broken for you. And then a little while later, he took a cup and he poured it out and he gave it to them. And he says, here, this represents my blood, which I shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins, from the past, the present, and the future. Do this. And when you do this, remember me. We are doing the same thing that Jesus' disciples did many years ago. And one day, if you will trust him, if you will put your hope and your faith in him, one day we will again be able to do this in the presence of Jesus himself. I think that would be really cool. I hope, it is my hope that when we get into heaven, we get to have communion and give him thanks for what he did for all of us. That's what it represents. We're going to use this as kind of our exit time. So as the band plays and the words will be up on the screen, I don't want you to be in a hurry, but linger. And we have four stations, two in back and two up front, that when you are ready, and as a family, maybe come up and do it as a family, however you want to do it, but then you are free to exit. And the ushers will have the buckets there for your weekly tithes and offerings to give there, but they're also going to come to the balcony to help serve you. If you can't get up, raise your hand so we can see it. We'll bring the elements to you. But use this time as your own personal reset as we get into the thick of this Christmas season as to what God has doing and is doing for all of us. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. God, thanks for all that you do. Thanks for who you are. Thanks for what you are doing. You are the Wonderful. You are the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father to the fatherless, the peacemaker of all peacemakers. You are the I Am. You are that we could go on all day with who you are. You are the perfect one. You are the loving one. You are the just one. God, thank you for being a part of my life. Thank you for being a part of our lives as we move together as a family of Living Hope. May this presence, may this peace, may this hope go with us, not just today, but all of the days in which we are to come. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the expectant one, and all God's people said, amen.